This is an audio podcast of an introduction to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, taught by Jim Cassidy. Videos of each lesson are available for free online at reformedforum.org.
Having already talked about the chief end for which we were created, namely to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, we move now to a very important question. And actually, we're going to look at the next two questions and answers of the Westminster Shorter Catechism. But it's very important because these questions set up how it is that we can know how to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So to us, it might make sense immediately that we were created to glorify and to enjoy God. But then the next question comes up about knowledge. How can we know how God wants to be glorified? How is it that we are to know the God that we are to enjoy? And how is it that we are to know about God to the extent that in knowing Him, we can truly and genuinely enjoy Him for who He is as the great God and Creator of all? And so the Westminster Shorter Catechism's questions and answers 2 and 3 help us in that regard. Question and answer number 2 goes like this. What rule has God given to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him? And the answer is this. The Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we might glorify and enjoy Him. And then question number 3 is, what do the Scriptures principally teach? And the answer is, the Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. There are really only 2 options for us to address the question, how we might glorify and enjoy God. We can go on our own wisdom. We can explore the depths of our own internal knowledge, our own inherent cleverness, or our own inherent wisdom. We could try to pursue it on our own and try to figure it out by ourselves. But that's a dead end, because pursuing things with a fallen mind will only result in fallen answers. But the good news is that God has not left us to pursue these things on our own resources, on our own reason, or on our own wisdom. But He has revealed to us the glorious truths concerning Him, what He has done for us, and the duty He requires of us. And He has revealed that to us particularly in His Word, the Bible. And that's what is in view when we are told here in the Westminster Shorter Catechism that the Word of God, as it is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us on how we might glorify and enjoy Him forever. And I want to focus in our little bit of time that we have here on that expression, the only rule. And when we talk about the only rule, we bring into view what the Reformers taught us back in the 16th century about sola scriptura, Scripture alone. Now, that doesn't mean solo scriptura. That doesn't mean Scripture by itself. It's not as if we are called to take our Bibles and to go hide in a corner somewhere, or to hide in a cave, or to go off into the desert and to lose ourselves with our Bibles. Me, my Bible, and Jesus, that's all I need. We're not saying that at all, as if there were no place for us to use our reason in the reading of Scripture, or to use the tradition of the church to help give us wisdom and guidance in the interpretation and the understanding and application of the Bible. All of those things are legitimate, because we read the Bible as those who are members of the church, not only the members of church of a church today, but members of the church throughout all of the centuries. And so we do not read our Bibles in a vacuum. But sola scriptura brings into view this idea that we do not go outside of the Scriptures to other resources other than the very Word of God in order to find the answers to life's most pressing questions. And I want to read to you a couple of passages to support that idea from Scripture itself. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2, it says this, "You shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you." So there is no adding to the word of God, and there is no taking away from the word of God. And that is articulated so clearly for us in question 2 of the Westminster Shorter Catechism, where it says that the word of God is the only rule. And what they mean by that is that we do not add to it. We do not take away from it. We do not add our own clever devices or our own ingenuity. We don't add to it our own philosophies or our own traditions in order to establish what God has taught us about how to glorify and enjoy Him. Now, there are a couple of problems that occur when you begin to either add to the Word of God or you take away from the Word of God. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples, and those examples can be multiplied, by the way. But I'm just going to give you a couple of examples, just samples, really, of ways in which this can go so poorly when we begin to add to God's Word or take away from it in establishing Christian doctrine and practice. The first thing is if we take away from what God has revealed to us. If we take away from what God has revealed to us and we refuse to believe it or we ignore it or we dismiss it, we fall into a very dangerous error that is sometimes called antinomianism. And antinomianism comes in many forms. We won't go into the technicalities of what antinomianism is, but it's the idea that there are commandments that God gives in His Word for us to live by that we simply dismiss as being unapplicable to us or somehow not relevant to us, that we don't need to obey those things or that they don't apply to us personally. And so if we take away from God's Word, we can fall into not just moral antinomianism, which would mean something along the lines of us not doing something that God requires of us to do, but also a kind of doctrinal antinomianism as well, where we refuse to believe something that God in His Word requires us to believe. And then what we end up with is simply convenient truth, truth that is convenient to us, truth that we like to believe, commandments that we like to obey, but not the ones that God requires of us. Secondly, what happens when we add to the Word of God? Well, many bad things happen, but one of the things that can happen is we can fall into a form of legalism, a legalism where we impose our wills on ourselves or on other people, what we want us or for other people to do that God Himself has not commanded us to do, or for us or other people to believe certain things that God Himself doesn't require for us to believe or for other people to believe. And so we might come up with a very clever doctrine. It makes sense to us, and we may begin to teach it. And when we teach it, we impose it upon other people. And we impose it upon ourselves because we're believing it. But unless it's grounded in Scripture, it becomes simply mere human speculation. And that's something that we want to avoid, mere human speculation. Our doctrine must be founded upon the Word of God, deviating neither to the right nor to the left. And I want to secondly go on to question and answer number 3 and talk to you a little bit from Psalm 19. Psalm 19 is just a wonderful text that teaches us about the revelation of God. Psalm 19, verse 1, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims His handiwork." And the psalmist goes on in the next several verses in Psalm 19 to talk about what we describe as general revelation or natural revelation. That's the revelation that God has disclosed about himself to creatures, to us, humans, in and through the things that he has made. So when you look out the window and you behold the sky, or you look at the face of a newborn infant and you see beauty and splendor and grandeur, you are seeing something of the grandeur and the splendor of our great creating God. But then the psalmist goes on and he talks about what we might call special revelation, which is his word. In verse 7, it says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes." The word of God, here described as the law of the Lord in Psalm 19, is his special revelation. It's his revelation that he, as it were, puts down into the words of Holy Writ, and is bound within Holy Scripture, and it is given to a particular people, his people. And those are the ones who receive the details of how God wants us to think about general revelation, how he wants us to think about who he is, how he wants us to think about the things he has done, and what it is he requires for us to do. And so in that word, we have a perfect revelation of doctrine and duty, of doctrine and duty. In doctrine and duty, we have in the Holy Scriptures an infallible and inerrant word from God. And here we have to talk about the inerrancy, the infallibility of the Word of God. And the Word of God is given to us without error because it is given to us by God himself. And because it is given to us by God himself, who cannot err, the Word that is contained within the Holy Scriptures in his special revelation cannot err. It is inspired by his Holy Spirit. The Spirit breathes out the Word of God so that what we have contained in our Bibles are the very words that God intended to communicate to us, his creatures. And so we go to the Bible in order to find out what it is we are to believe and what it is that we are called to do. And once again, I want to highlight one last thing about the Westminster Shorter Catechism question and answer 3. The Scriptures principally teach what man is to believe concerning God and what duty God requires of man. That question and answer sets up for us a very basic structure for the rest of the Shorter Catechism. Doctrine, what we are to believe concerning God, and duty, what God has commanded for us to do. Questions and answers 4 through 38 will explain to us doctrine, what we are to believe concerning God. And then from 39 all the way to 107 will contain for us the duty that God requires of us as his creatures generally, but even more particularly as his covenant people.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Reformed Academy. All of our courses are available in video, online, entirely for free at reformedforum.org. And we also include Spanish and Chinese subtitles. But we are only able to do this with your support. And so if you are excited about this theology and want to enable people around the world to watch and listen to these free resources, please visit reformedforum.org/donate to provide your support.